Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim. Do you ever think we'll be on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine?
Well, Patrick, considering that our podcast is listened to in Sweden, Poland, Scotland, and the United States, I'd say there's a pretty good chance.
Oh, man, that is awesome. When do you think it will happen?
I don't know. Maybe Sunday? Okay, Patrick, I know that in the past we have approached or maybe met or even exceeded maximum capacity on this show.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think today's episode, we are right there, right? Maximum number of guests allowed, don't you think?
Potentially. And I'll tell you, I'll look the records up and I'll get back to you on that. And I got to tell you something really quick, Jim. You know, it's been a pleasure to get to know Mike Coley, patron friend of our show, which is Rockin' the Suburbs. Starring Patrick Foster
and Jim Lenihan.
But I'll say, of all the cool stuff Mike has done, is all the people he's turned us on to, all the ways he's been a great member of our community, and just like so happy to know him. And also when he sent us beer, that was great.
Yeah.
But I think nothing tops the fact when he came on Kiss Week and we talked about Kiss. I mean, he really saved me on that one. So, and he did it with no problem. It's like, hey, I don't need to prepare for this. Get Kiss. Let's do it.
This surprises me not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that.
And without getting too far into it, we've mentioned this so many times now. He also has, I think, honors for the best story ever on the podcast, right? The famous crucifix story.
Oh, my God. You know, that one and the story about the guy who had the whiskey from Van Halen.
Is that your story too, Mike?
No, that wasn't story.
No, that was somebody else's. But you're saying that's also a competitor.
Those two, I think, have got to be like, you know, the top two of all time. And a crucifix going down the stairs is probably, for me, anyway, going to be number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, let's get into today's topic here. Yes. So Mike Coley in Rome, New York. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, always good to talk to you. He's a patron of the podcast. He gets to come on. We love having him on, but he comes on every so often and he gets to pick the topic. Yeah. That's like a perk that we give to our patrons. And today he invited several guests here. Yeah. Recording all socially distanced because we're recording this over Zoom. I can look on my screen here and see a number of people. So, Mike, why don't you explain what you wanted to talk about on this episode and who you invited?
Well, these are friends of mine, all from this area. Brian is the only non-Roman out of the group. But the group is called Maybe Sunday. They're all friends of mine. They've been at it for a long time, individually as musicians. And they came together over the last year and a half or so. And they put together an EP last year. And they're getting ready to head into the studio again soon to record a full length. And I just thought I'd give them a little exposure because I'm really high on their sound and just want my friends to do well.
Okay, cool. And before we get into the conversation with Maybe Sunday, explain to the listeners again a little bit about your involvement with local music.
I run a local music website called 315music.com, which concentrates mainly on the Central New York area. And we try to focus as much on the local scene as possibly can. Unfortunately, I decided to venture out into this during a pandemic year. So there's not a whole lot of material. But with the pandemic, there's been a lot of local musicians that have gone into the studio or just done some live streams or just put out singles here or there on various platforms. The creativity level in this area is definitely heightened during the pandemic, I think, just to keep them sane.
Yeah.
During this without being able to play gigs and whatnot.
Keep going.
All right. So members of Maybe Sunday, why don't you guys introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Now we're all going to talk over each other.
Yeah. Mike, why don't you orchestrate the introduction?
All right. Jim Grogan.
Hi there.
He's the drummer. He's a lyricist. He also adds background vocals, and he's the best Jim Grogan style drummer on the planet.
That's so great.
All right.
That's a take from a Keith Moon quote. But yeah, I want to thank you guys for having us on, and Jim and Pat, and of course, Mike. Mike's just been helping us out tremendously, and such a great guy and just a great fan of music. So yeah, I play drums and write some tunes, and that's what I do along with the guys. So thank you.
Excellent. Nice to meet you. Okay.
Now, next up is Brian Honeywell. He's a guitarist, vocalist, lyricist as well. He's based out of the Syracuse area right now. Well, probably for the right now. Foreseeable future. But yep, Brian is a slamming guitarist, Brian Honeywell.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate having us. I've known these guys a little bit. Jim and I were good friends way back in college, which was just like 3-4 years ago when we were in college. And I've known all these guys for a long time. It's been really fun to hang, and I'm glad they invited me to join their little band of thieves.
Nice.
Next up is Julie Grogan. Julie's the keyboardist. She also writes some lyrics and provides background vocals as well, and some lead vocals too, right, Julie?
No, I'm on like background vocals and keys. I haven't written anything, so I'm not going to say that I have. It's coming.
We're waiting.
Patiently.
Next up is the bassist and also a songwriter and vocalist is Dwayne Womack.
Yeah, I play bass. I tend to see it from a groove aspect, and I like it.
Play some bass for us. You're holding one right there.
What do you want me to play?
I don't know. Just give
us a funky.
All right. We found the funk. That was nice.
Excellent.
Yeah. Do you know the theme from Barney Miller?
I'm too young to remember that show.
Yeah, sure.
Good answer.
And last but definitely not least, my birthday brother, Bruce Flanders, plays rhythm guitar, is a lyricist and songwriter, and does a lot of the lead vocals for the band. Hi, Bruce.
Sorry. Okay. Technical problems.
All right. So who wants to give us the quick rundown, the quick backstory on Maybe Sunday? How long have you guys been together? How'd you get together? And what type of music interests you?
Jimmy's got that.
Well, as Brian mentioned, we've all been friends for quite a while. And then I was moving to Rome and hadn't played in a while. And I called up Bruce and said, hey, let's get something going. And we thought of Dwayne. And then we were making some sound, and my wife plays keyboard. She joined in, and we were like, geez, if we could get Honeywell. I used to play in several bands with Brian over the years, dating back to the late 80s. And he was in a band, pretty active at the time. And then the time was right for him to come join us. And he just... smothered a sauce over everything, and well, there we go. I guess I'll take it a step further. We always had a difficult time finding out when we would get together to play, and it just seemed like we all kept on saying, well, maybe Sunday we'll get together, maybe Sunday. And that's pretty much how the name came along. And, you know, we write all our own music. That's what we focus on. We love cover bands, but that's just not our thing. You know, we'll put on a 2.5-3 hour show, all original music.
Wow.
And it's a lot of fun.
That's a lot of material. How long has the band been together?
About 2 years now.
2 years. And is that all music you have written in that time, or did you guys bring previous songs you had written from other, you know, bands or you've been in or things like that?
I think we brought 3 previous songs.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right. Wow. So you're prolific writers.
Yeah. Mostly credit where credit's due, Bruce. Bruce shows up every time and it's got like, well, I've got this new song. I'm like, all right, so we play it. And he comes up and he like vomits out these songs. And they're almost always good.
Not to put the songs down, but I want to ask you, I want to say one thing to you guys and anyone who wants to answer this one can answer it. But number one, I'm holding your CD here and it's cool in a lot of ways. Number one, it's an EP, which I always dig. It's got 4 songs. But it also feels good, man. It's got like a nice glossy cover with a nice pencil drawing, right?
Yes.
And on the inside.
We got a CD with all round corners so that it's very soothing to hold.
Yeah, it's nice. And if you get bored, you can read the lyrics because they're right here on the inside, which is great. But here's my question. Psychedelic alternative blues pop jelly. What does that mean?
I don't know.
That's what it is.
Well, I think it came from this kind of a joke. We were trying to fill out one of our social media descriptions. And we're like, we're not a jam band. And one of us said, we're more like jelly. And we just thought it was funny and dumb. So we kept it.
But I think it comes from a lot of our influences as well. You know, everything noted there is an influence of ours. And not being a cover band, people are like, well, what type of music do you play? And then boom, there it was. Kind of like the Who's, you know, Maximum R&B, their logo, Maximum R&B. That kind of idea.
I like the description of the band because it leaves it open to the listener to determine what it actually means. And in this day and age, when everything is labeled and put in front of you, having something where you can fill it in with your imagination is kind of like reading a book. You know, you fill it in, you put the visual to that. So
Yeah. Listen
to the music and tell us what you think of this.
Very cool.
I think almost every band hates to describe the music that they play, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the hardest question. Yeah, what do you sound like? Well.
Yeah, so
truth.
So what do you guys sound like?
I think it's really difficult to be a band and have to describe yourself. It's kind of like a job with a resume. And it's kind of like, what should I say? Right. What should I talk about
so
that I can relay, you know? Because after all, in the end, this is art. And art is, it's the end listener or the viewer that makes the determination. And, you know, you can say all this crazy stuff, but what do you feel?
Yeah.
Amen.
So Dwayne, what's your biggest weakness?
What's my biggest weakness?
Have you ever been in a situation where you had to solve a problem and how did you solve it?
I'll tell you my biggest weakness. My biggest weakness is I like big butts and I cannot lie.
You're hired.
So let me ask you guys this, if you can answer it, given that it's difficult to describe your sound, but there's five of you in this band. Do you find that the different members of the band have different influences or interests, and how does that mesh together?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally.
It seems to work. I think we have a lot of stuff that we all have in common, like the 80s alternative stuff and some other rock stuff that everybody likes. But I think everybody, we all have a little bit of a different style, but at the same time, there's some common ground there too, I think. If that's not too lame an answer.
It's a good answer, Bri.
Thanks, Jimmy.
That's good.
What do you think, Jewel?
I agree.
You were saying, like, Bruce, you do a lot of the songwriting. Do you ever find in a song that somebody adds something to it that you never would have thought of yourself?
Oh my God, all of them. Yeah, definitely. Like mine usually come from some quiet session I'm doing alone on my couch that's probably like folky and, you know, just me and an acoustic. And then I bring it to the band and it becomes something completely different and so much better. Like Free Fall was just a little two chord jam and then it turned into like a masterpiece, in my opinion. The rest of the band heard it and did their own thing.
Cool.
It's a process to watch everybody throw their own color on there and then turn to a painting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything's thought out. All the pieces are thought out from all the players. It's good.
Well, and I'll jump in and say, to continue with my obsession about how cool this CD package is, the lyrics to Free Fall, you guys actually spread the last lines out here at the bottom. So the lyrics are all written that way, but then the last lines of Free Fall actually are free falling down to the bottom, which I think is pretty trippy, man.
He caught that. Oh, nice.
I just think it's a great package. I love it, man. I don't know who did the art, but the art is fantastic too. So
I think, you know, it pays homage to, like, you know, at this day and age with digital music, people are always missing out on the fact that there is a visual artistic statement that can be made.
Yeah,
and you know, you can convey so much more just by that presentation. But you know, download it on iTunes.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Not that I'm a guy that's obsessed with albums, but I think it's a great package.
It's good to have lyrics every now and then. I get that. And
the
design layout. Amazon Music, too.
Yeah. And that you can actually do something cool with the placing of the words is, you know, it's like kind of a throwback to, you know, what I loved about, you know, looking at records and the way they were put together. So, well done on that.
You can clean your weed there in it too when you open it up. Like Frampton Comes Alive. You can.
Yeah, there you go. Open it up and weed there. Wait, are you talking about me? Why? I don't understand. And I'll tell you this too, guys. I think that, you know, like we've been talking about, it's not easy to, you know, concentrate on anything anymore, right? But the fact that you guys put four songs, it feels cool, feels less intimidating. But I'm curious as to why in this day and age you chose four. You know, were they just the four that were done or the four best ones? Or like, why did, you know, how'd you land on that?
That's a real easy answer.
It's really expensive.
Money. Yeah. Oh, we couldn't afford to record more than four that time, you know.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even think about
studio
that
time.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
We voted. We voted.
We could have made a double album, but we chose four that would define a little bit our style on each side of it.
Yeah, we have double album taste, but we have a EP budget.
Yeah. Single. We have a extended single budget.
Yeah, there you go.
So let me ask you this. How important is it to you to record in a real studio as opposed to a lot of like home recording that people do these days?
Yeah.
Good question.
That was a dream.
I have a great answer for that.
Okay.
This is like the difference between a real woman and an inflatable woman. You know, yeah, sure, it kind of looks like that, but having the facilities at your disposal to where you could be like, well, you know, I need that rotating Leslie in this song is different than being in your basement going, oh, let's play it again.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point, man.
It was really also a dream of all of ours to actually get something in there and recorded. You know, the way that we actually heard it in our heads.
That's cool. Yeah.
And having Jeff Aderman in the studio was a dream come true, the whole process, everything about it.
It's always a special thrill the first time a band goes into the studio. I mean, if you look at music history, there are, you know, many amazing cases. So that's really cool.
And so the EP is called Above the Trees, and that came out, what, like around June? Last June, something like that?
Earlier, like May.
Okay.
It came out right after they shut everything down.
Yeah. So again, masters of timing, right? Yeah. And I understand you're working toward fundraising for a full-length album, right?
We're talking about it. Yeah.
Okay. What makes it interesting is like normally we'd use our money from gigs and use that to pay for the cost of the album, but
or album sales.
That's the classic DIY model. That's right. Yeah, and it's not available anymore at the moment. You know, hopefully it won't be that much longer, but
we hope to. I mean, we want to, like I think I said to the guys earlier, we've got, we've talked about, you know, doing it that way, like doing it in the basement, recording it in the basement and everything, but we had such a great experience last time and we were in such good hands at Big Blue North Studio, which is in Utica, which is a world-class facility in our backyard. And these guys went to high school with the guy that runs it. And the guy that runs it is a phenomenal engineer. We had such a great experience with that. If we're going to do it, or if we're going to spend the money on doing it, and the reason
to do it right,
the reason we're doing it is because it's fun. And that was so much fun doing it that way. Why don't we just wait and we're going to try and do it that way again. And just have that experience with each other one more time, and the experience of sharing what came out of it one more time. And I think that's kind of our hope, sooner than later, hopefully, but we'll see.
Yeah.
That's great. So now that you're unable to play live, I do have a question though about your live music experience, which is number one, this is a two-part question. What is the live music scene like in Central New York, and two, how do you guys fit into that?
We don't, but that's the fun part.
Okay.
It's alive because of Mike Coley and thriving.
Yeah, we're giving it to them without KY. They're just getting it, whether they like it or not. Boom.
Yeah, we're unlike the scene. We're not really part of any scene. I don't think that there's a lot of them like us around. It's hard to get a gig and just say we're going to play our own stuff for 2.5 hours and hope you like it. We don't have anything really to tell them what we're like unless they've heard us. So it's been a slow start, but the ball's rolling.
It's getting with
Coley in our bag.
Easier. It's nice. Getting easier.
I find it quite outrageous that people don't listen to the original music from their area, because I believe that the music you make, since we're all from the same area, you should be able to relate to it on a different level than someone, say, in Guam that listens to our music. But I think that's just my opinion.
No, you're right.
It's such an interesting point about paying attention to what's happening, aspirations and kind of all that stuff. But I wonder if I was in a band, and sometimes I am, but if somebody asked me this question in an interview, I'd be like, what an asshole this guy is. But can you guys agree on one band that like would be all of your influences? Like if everybody had to do 5 influences, what would be the one in common?
The Cure.
And I would, okay. That would be a common ground. I would,
yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. That's cool, man. Yeah.
The Replacements.
Yeah.
The Cure and the Replacements. Interesting.
Okay. Maybe not Julie. Necco.
Not going to medicine show, is it?
Not going there.
Medicine for the people.
But I think we all like Pink Floyd.
Yeah. And Big Black.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe not. What? No one's with me on this one?
I'm with you. I'm
totally with you. If you're serious. Yeah, I love that band.
Oh, I'm dead serious. Fugazi. Big Black songs about f***ing. It's like one of the most pivotal punk albums. I don't know if you want to call it punk. It was its own thing, It was just raw.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yep. Okay, so Mike.
Yes.
What attracted you to Maybe Sunday?
Well, just knowing them for a long time and knowing their influences, and definitely Brian Honeywell was the draw to the band for me, because he's a handsome guy. He's a hockey fan. He likes the Tragically Hip. But
he's making it up, Brian. He's totally making up.
Three pretty good qualities, actually. Yeah.
Just knowing these people and knowing them as long as I have, and knowing the different styles of music that they've been into their entire lives, and then seeing it all their influences come to fruition in the sound that they've created for their band. They take bits and pieces of all these different influences and create their own sound with those influences. And it's influences you wouldn't expect to be able to merge together well, Dwayne talking about Big Black, or, like Bruce, I know, is a big Iron and Wine fan and a Flaming Lips fan. And Jim, he's the biggest Who fan I've ever known.
Hmm.
And just, all those different disparate influences coming together to form this sound that they've created is what really drew me into their sound. I mean, it's easy to say they're my friends. I got to listen to them and, I got to support them just because they're my friends, but I really, really dig the music. I'm a big fan of their music. I love the way they put everything together.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, they're your friends, so you got to, listen to their music, but you wouldn't invite them to be on a worldwide podcast if you didn't really like
them.
That's right.
No.
Exactly. So don't screw this up, boys.
I'd be going a little too far.
Too late. Too late.
It's already in Poland.
Poland, yeah. Give a shout out to Greg in Poland.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Poland. Greg.
There you go.
Hey, Greg.
Well, they just told me yesterday that you noticed that you had a listen in Sweden. That was from Niklas, because I created a playlist for him in our little Secret Santa thing. So Niklas in Sweden has listened to Maybe Sunday.
Thanks, Niklas.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, he's hammering on crutch, I think.
Hey, what's up? Wake up. Remember what I said. Shout
Okay, so what are your plans for the band once things hopefully at some point return somewhat to normal?
Play.
World domination.
I want to play.
Just to play for people, you know? Put it to the people.
Right. New venues with different bands. I want to play some local festivals, some other local clubs we haven't gotten into. Get out of our little circle of friends a little bit and expand. And yeah, just play. And I think we're pretty confident with our ability and our songs, and we want to share it. It's fun, man. It's rock and roll. We're not little kids anymore, you know, so so many shots at having fun and doing this. So if we get the chance to do it, we got to do it while we can before, you know, something bad happens.
Amen, man. That's really well said. And I'll tell you what, I'm just, you know, trying to take it a day at a time until I can get to a time where I can go to like 20 shows in a row where people are saying, "We wrote this during the pandemic."
It's going to be all kinds of music coming out
every night. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Yeah, because it's just going to be so cathartic, right, to get out there again and watch it. So I hope it happens, you know, soon
too.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
It's been amazing talking to you guys.
In the meantime, let our listeners know where they can hear your music.
We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on Apple Music. MaybeSundayBand.com if you want a hard copy of the beautiful CD that's been
earlier. That's the way to go.
What else? We're on Facebook.
Instagram.
Amazon.
We're on all the social medias. You know where to find us. Look us up. Just search us and click. There's a little bit of a YouTube presence. So those, you know, the regular places, I guess.
There are some defunct Maybe Sundays out there. So,
yeah. So accept no substitutes.
Exactly.
Don't go to MySpace and look for it.
Yeah. Don't do that. Either, now, yeah. And you guys
go to MySpace.
You guys have not been kicked off Twitter, right? That's
not yet. Okay.
All right. No. Just a parlor. Yeah. That's all we've been kicked off of.
All right. Well, thank you very much. The band is Maybe Sunday. Everybody check out their music.
Thank you, guys.
You'll really like it a lot. And
buy the damn CD. It's actually really
cool. There you go.
Cool.
I mean,
I'm, you know, one of these days I'm going to listen to it, but I'm so stunned by the actual art.
I just want to add that my fiance Beth did that artwork, so...
Oh, is that right? Oh, there you go. That's great. Yeah.
I think lovely. You need to buy another one to listen to. You can't really listen to the one.
There you go. I'll keep the next one sealed. Yeah.
Yes.
There you
go.
All right.
All right. Thanks very much, all. And thanks Mike, for bringing this band to us.
Thanks, guys.
And if anyone would like information on how to become a patron of our show, go to patreon.com/suburbspod. And then, of course, you can find us still on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all those at suburbspod. All right.
I mean, essentially, you can pay to take the show over like Coley has done. Yeah. And I love it, man. Yeah. I love it.
Great.
I love it.
And Mike, how do people find 315 Music?
We are at 315 Music News on all the socials. So on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the URL for the website is 315music.com.
All right. Great.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all later.
They see me at all to be like, "Oh my God, we rouse some spirit from the underworld."